Well, as we move farther and farther along here in terms of August trading, it might be worth taking a look back at historical action we see in the late summer months. And for more on that, I want to bring on Yahoo Finance's Jared Blickery with a special guest in this week's Getting Technical segment. Jared?
That's right. And our special guest is JC Peretz, founder of All Star Charts. And I want to bring you in here and start with the overall market, because as you've been noting in your newsletter and your tweets, August is usually a volatile month. And we've seen a lot of downturns, a lot of VIX spikes. It's also low liquidity. We have a lot of people out, not for lunch, for vacation, coming back after Labor Day. As you've been noting, we got biotech, small caps, a bunch of major markets and downtrends. So how are you playing the market this right now?
It's funny you mentioned out to lunch. Maybe it was a Freudian slip, because it's funny because this is kind of how the market acts during the day, right? You know, you get the volume and new action coming in the morning, and it kind of slows down after 11:30 through like 1:30, and then picks up into the end of the day. That's just normal intraday seasonality. Like you mentioned, everyone's out to lunch. Sort of on an annualized basis, it's kind of the same thing, right? You know, the summer doldrums, if you will, is kind of like that lunch period, and then it picks up in the fall into the fourth quarter. So, you know, it really is that. But this year, it's special because we came into the summer doldrums already in a messy market environment, right? You know, the IPO index peaked in February, emerging markets peaked in February, small caps stopped going up in February, biotechs, you know, that was when the list of new highs on the NASDAQ peaked back in February. So a lot changed since then, where it's been harder and harder to make money, right? This year is not last year, right? You can talk to any trader. They'll tell you their P&L is different. The types of trades that are working this year are much different than what was working last year. You know, last year in a trending environment, it was easy to just buy stocks, buy dips. We were in a strong bull market. Now, year two of that cycle historically tends to be a lot messier. And that's precisely what we've seen this year.
Well, I want to shift gears a second to Bitcoin. That's really gotten my attention over the weekend. Got all the way up to 46,000. And there's been a lot of talk about regulation and the crackdown in China and this and that. But I want to know what you're seeing in the technicals here.
Right. See, the one thing that we know about the crypto markets is that there's always some story, some conspiracy theory as to why, you know, it went up or down that day or week or month. Like, there's always some story. Sometimes they're true, sometimes they're not. So we just stay out of that gossip, right? And we focus on the only thing that pays, you know, and that's price. And when you look at the chart of Bitcoin holding that 30,000, it's like that scene in Back to the Future where Biff is like, this seems awfully familiar. There's something real familiar about this, right? And it reminds me a lot of the S&P 500 in the summer of 2010, where you kind of had that monster thrust and you had a consolidation that appeared to be a head and shoulders top, where like members of the media are calling it out and, you know, all of a sudden they're technicians. We saw the exact same thing. A lot of journalists and members of the media calling out a head and shoulders top in Bitcoin. Man, eerily similar to that 2010 period in S&Ps, really looks a lot like it. And the squeeze is on that 30,000 level. So obviously we're up 50% in Bitcoin from those levels. But when you go across the board, when you go down the cap scale and you look at other names like Cardano and, you know, Polkadot and, you know, even the Ripple, I mean, there's just so much going on in the crypto space. It's not just Bitcoin, but it definitely started there.
Yeah, and let's take a look at some crypto stocks here. Specifically, I know you're taking a look at Silvergate Capital. This appears to be breaking through some potential, through some resistance here. It is breaking to the upside, a couple closes perhaps today. So what do you like about Silvergate here?
You know, it's interesting. It's a mid-cap stock, right? And if regional banks start getting that bid again, if the U.S. 10-year yield can get above 1.4%, there's going to be a lot of buying pressure coming in regional banks. This one in particular, Silvergate, is really interesting because it gets grouped with the crypto stuff because they're doing a lot of fintech and crypto work. Even though it's a San Diego-based regional bank, I think it's got a market cap of $4 billion. So right in that mid-cap sweet spot, and most importantly, the risk-reward makes sense. If we're above 115, I like it long. You know, I think it's got at least 50% of upside. And then realistically, if we break out again, I mean, this could be a $300, $400 stock. And it's really not that big of a company. That's one of the things I like a lot about midcaps, is that, you know, the stocks could double, they could double again, they could double again after that, and they're still not that big. So that's, you know, that and the crypto exposure. If you're gonna buy a regional bank stock, I'd take a look at this one. It's interesting.
Well, and then let me just get your thoughts on gold. We had a flash crash overnight, and that's after a huge loss Friday after the jobs number. What are you seeing in the gold market right now?
Nobody wants your rocks, right? I mean, that's the theme. Nobody wants your rocks. Like, you know, inflation, deflation, disinflation, Trump, Biden, like, you know, the gold bugs have come up with every story under the sun as to why gold should go up, and it doesn't. In fact, over the last year, you'd be hard-pressed to find a worse investment over the last year in gold. I mean, literally, you could have bought anything and it would have made money, but not gold. You know, so it just really is the worst of the bunch. And even in commodities, literally every commodity in the world is going up except for gold. You know, silver's making new lows. You know, just nobody wants those rocks. It's really a supply and demand game. You can, you know, some people like to have like conspiracy theories about like gold and, you know, inflation hedge. And like, it's just stories. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, stories. And so you could listen to those stories, or you could focus on the only thing that's actually ever going to pay anyone. And that's the price of gold. And it's just obvious that there's an overwhelming amount of supply of gold relative to demand for it. And until that changes, we're going to keep leaving it alone. Ultimately, Jared, I do think my suspicion is we finally break out above those 2011 highs, which were the highs from a year ago last summer. I think ultimately we do. We've been in the camp that ultimately I believe we do. The problem is that I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't think it's going to happen tomorrow or next month, probably not even this year. Maybe next year, maybe the year after that. The way I see it, what's the rush? It's waiting for the breakout. Why do we have to be in such a rush?
Only price pays. Love it. JC Peretz of All Star Charts, thank you for joining us. Sending it back to you, Zach.